Well, you know, Holy Ghost people, when they start fellowshipping, it's hard for them to stop, and I love it. So I used to tell people the most dangerous place on earth was in a church aisle at 1201. So it's not true here. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome tonight. That just, wow. God is so good. I always feel more than honored to stand in the pulpit here behind Pastor Eddie. My goodness. Gene and I, as we say to each other often, how honored we are to be a little part of Grace House and to sit under the ministry of Pastor Eddie and Mickey and all of you. Aren't you glad for the family of God? Aren't you glad? Go ahead. Give the Lord a God bless you for his family. Wow. So my assignment, and in a delightful way, I want to talk to you about prayer tonight. And I feel like the Lord wants me to, and let me just say, I probably won't say nothing tonight that you don't already know, but maybe we can blow some dust off of things you already know. But I want to talk about the prayer of faith. Basically, what I'll be doing tonight in some low-level way, not way up here, but some level of hopefully understandable, applicable way of how can I, as a believer, pray the prayer of faith. Because it's in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, a couple of scriptures I want to look at real quick. We'll be looking at some more as we move along. But obviously, you would probably know real quick, we go over to James chapter 5 and verse 15. As you know, James is talking about, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's the context of any sick, call for the elders, anointing them all. And then look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And notice what it didn't say. The prayer of faith might save the sick. There's one thing about the prayer of faith. It always works. It's not a 90-10. It always works. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now jump over to the 9th chapter of Matthew real quick. In the 9th chapter, there are two blind men, and I think they illustrate our point here rather vividly. In the 9th chapter of Matthew, verse 27, when this is the New King James, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, now watch what he said. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, here's what I wanted you to see tonight. According to your faith, let it be unto you. According to your faith, let it be unto you. Now, there's three things I want to talk about tonight as we have time. The first thing is I want you to look with me at Jesus and how he used his faith, and then explains it. And then the other point I want to talk about is what is faith and how do you get it? And the last point is how do we put it all together, pray the prayer of faith. So go with me over to Mark chapter 11. We'll begin. This is a familiar passage. On Jesus uses his faith and then explains how he used his faith. That's amazing to me. So rather than read all of it, I'll refer to it as we go along to save some time. Well, we'll look at chapter 11 of Mark, verse 11. Jesus went up into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he sent out to Bethany. He went out to Bethany with the 12. Here, watch this. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said, "Let no one eat fruit from you forevermore." And his disciples heard it. Now what Jesus did is, watch this, he saw the fig tree that had leaves. Well, I think it's being unkind. Really, it looked like it. If he had leaves, it was supposed to have figs. Do you understand? And you know, if we're not careful, we got more leaves, we got figs. God wants to be a fig-hanging tree. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus saw the fig tree that had leaves but had figs on it, he spoke the word to the root, and the fig tree died. Now let's look at that. Fruit was not there, but leaves were evident. And so what does Jesus do? He speaks the word to the root issue. And the amazing thing, look at verse 20. "And in the morning, next day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." How many know, in the faith of Jesus, it was dried up the day before. They saw it the next day. See, faith was in the yesterday, just like it was in the now when they saw it. And Peter, remembering, said, "Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Now, that's what I call his activation of faith. He moved on something, and it happened, okay? And the next day, the disciples walking by saw it, and I think they were kind of shocked. So here's the point. The second thing Jesus does is start to explain how yesterday worked. It's amazing as it fits us. Okay, chapter 11, look at verse 22. In verse 22, in response to their amazement that the fig tree had withered away from the roots up, Jesus responded and said, "Have faith in God." That was his response. Have faith in God. Actually, if you translate that out of the original, it means have faith of God. And no way that, how many know God has a strong faith? I say that rather sarcastically. But anyway, how many know with God, everything's always knowing. How many of you know with God, he's not learning anything? Come on now. This God we got is a great, great, wonderful Father in whom he gave his Son for us that we could know him and be related. So he said, have the God kind of faith. Now, when I look at that, you always got to remember, faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a leap out of the darkness into the light. Let me say it again. So often I hear people say, well, you know, faith is a leap in the dark. No, it's a leap out of the dark into the light. Because you said, have the God kind of faith. And listen, Bible faith always has an object. Its object is God. I mean, how many of you know you can't have in faith in something that you don't have faith in? I mean, you can't have in faith. You can't just say, I'm going to have faith. Faith in what? Faith always has to have an object. And the God kind of faith, God's the object, and what he said gets us there. So Jesus said, have faith in God. Look at the next one, verse 23. In verse 23, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever. How many God, that's your name. That's your name, whoever. Not you. Nobody got excluded. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Let me stop there. Doubt is not a head deal. Doubt is a heart deal. Faith is not a head deal. Faith is a heart deal. You understand? Let me just say this. You can have faith in your heart and battle doubt in your brain. Let me say it again. You can have faith in your heart. I mean, let me just give you, she's sitting on the front row. I hope you don't mind. If she does, she'll tell me on the way home. But anyway, when June got saved, I want to tell that woman, her life radically changed. She got gloriously saved. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith. She didn't get saved because she deserved it. She got saved because she repented and by faith received Jesus as her Savior. That's how she got saved. But I want to tell you, she was as saved as I was. or anybody else that I knew, but the devil fought against her about knowing that. Now, I mean, she taught classes and everything else, but back there somewhere was that gnawing fight of doubt against, am I really saved? Until we lived at Cloverdale out here. She went off to a meeting in Oakland. I didn't go that day. She came back. I'm sitting in the living room, and I watched her get out of the car, walk up on the front porch, and she had this silly grin on her face. I mean, she was smiling ear to ear. And she stepped in the door and said, I know. I said, you know what? She said, I know I'm saved. I said, how you know that? Because it says it in the Bible. And I found out, listen, and I believed it. Now I know. Do you understand? She was saved in her heart, fought the devil in her brain, okay? So doubt is in our hearts. That's where the battle is. But believes that with those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. In other words, there is the saying of faith. I mean, and you know you can't have faith in the heart and spewing doubt out of your words. It's like light and darkness, okay? So Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, shall not doubt in his heart. They shall have whatever came out of their mouth in faith, okay? So, I just reminded of a story. Years ago, when we were in East Africa and we started going in 1985, Jeffrey Mazenja, whom he's been here, and this is his church now in America. Anyway, so Jeffrey had these old vehicles. It was a miracle of God you got anywhere in it. Every bolt was loose in it, and it rattled like a tin can, and it'd get hot, and we'd stop and let it cool off, pour water in it, and go on a little further. There's a vehicle over in Kenya. They don't make them here. Toyota makes the vehicle called a Prado. It's a high-end, rugged vehicle, especially for that terrain. And when I'd see one, I would say to Jeffrey, one day, we're going to buy you a Prado just like that. He always would say this, yes, brother. He always agreed. He never really disagreed. And so, if two shall agree, so I'd say, we're going to buy you one of those. And he'd say, yes, brother. Well, that went on for a number of years. And one morning, in our first service at Christ Chapel, I said, one day we're going to buy Jeffrey Mathenja a Prado. One of my elders was sitting right over there. I looked at him. He was crying. He said, when do we start this morning? And I thought, I believe that's God. And when he said that, somebody right over here, I mean within 5 seconds, said, I'll be the first one to give to that Prado. Well, it started the process. I announced it in the third service we were having, in the main service. And we started the process. And nobody knew this. I knew it. June knew it. Two people came up to me at the end of the service. Two different people, not knowing, came up to me and said to me, consider that Prado bought. I'll take care of it. Now, how did that happen? Come on. It wasn't me, but it was a big God. But see, by faith, we were decreeing and declaring something. And that morning, I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't long thereafter, you know. You can't go to Kenya and just buy a car and drive it home. You go to Kenya, find you one, and order it and wait, okay? And then pay VAT tax about as much as you paid for the vehicle, all right? So we did that. What I'm trying to say, it's important what comes out of our mouth. Let our mouth agree with faith in our heart. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, if you just got prayed for and you've had the flu and somebody just prayed for you and you believe in God, somebody said, how you doing? Well, I hope I'll get better. You just shot down your faith. You just put a bullet hole right in what your heart's trying to believe, see? So your mouth and your heart, we have to agree. So let's go on. Faith in your saying, words of doubts in the heart, words of faith in the heart also. But it's important we understand words are important with God. God's in Jesus spoke a word to that fig tree and it died from the roots up. How did it die? The authority of the word that he spoke killed a fig tree, never had fruit again. Now, look at verse 24. 23 is the saying, 24 is the asking. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. How do you know you got them? How do you know you have the petitions that you've asked of God if you believe it? You believe what? That's the question. Are you going to believe it because you need it or want it or wish you had it? You believe it because God said you could have it and you stepped out on the promise and thanked Him for it. Therefore, if you believe you have it, you have it. You don't have to see it. Have you ever said this? I'll tell you what, preacher. If I could see it, I'd believe it. And then when you saw it, you go, I don't believe it. I've said that. I see it and I go, Lord, I don't believe it. I'm looking right at it. See, faith is not a natural. It's a supernatural. I mean, because what we're talking about tonight in praying in faith, it has nothing to do with your five senses. Absolutely nothing. You can't plug faith into your five senses. So just get that out of the way. God gave you five senses, use them, but don't let them rob your faith. So Jesus said, you saw what I did, therefore I say unto you, every one of us, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe, when do you believe you receive them? When you prayed for them. That's when the prayer of faith worked, is when you prayed for them, believed you received them, you don't have to see them to know you have them. Hallelujah. Okay. Enough on that. Let me go to another one. So where does faith come from? And what is faith? Somebody try to, because I think we are suffering under a misunderstanding a lot about hope and faith. Let me say it as clear as I can. Faith is always present tense. It's never future tense. You're going to, I'm going to believe God in the morning. No, you can't. Because when you get there, it'll be now. Isn't that right? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, you want to turn over there, you can. You know it well. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, what's the first word in verse 1? Now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, first of all, let's answer the question. So what is faith? It's the now present tense of what you believe God's going to do. Now what is hope? It's always future. It's wonderful. Without it, without hope, we'd be among men most miserable. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But hope and faith are not the same, because faith is the evidence. Faith is the expression of things hoped for. See, one is future, one's present tense. Hallelujah. See, when faith has said, I prayed and I believe, you can thank God for it right then. We go, I ain't seen a thing. I don't have to. I got it. How you know you got it? I believe it. Do you see? I mean, that's simple enough, isn't it? Well, that's kind of way out there. No, let me tell you, Jesus lived that way. You remember Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus? You know, you never find Jesus in public praying for God to do something that hadn't already been settled in private. What did he say at the tomb of Lazarus? I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. I thank you. And so when I look at that, I think, so what is faith? Faith is always, faith always is present tense. It always is now. I mean, you can't get saved tomorrow. You die and go to hell if you're waiting on getting saved tomorrow. Why? It's because faith is now. For by grace are you saved through faith. How many know you got saved when you believed it? When did you get saved? When you believed it? I mean, that, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I can figure that one out, bless God, when I believed it. Now, you know, for instance, and this is natural. It's not the same, but there's a picture. Suppose that our brother-in-law, JT, lives over on San Mountain. Just suppose that we got a letter from him. And in the letter he said, Dear Dr. June, I'm coming over next Sunday. I'll be there about 8 o'clock. Well, guess what? June and I start acting like we believe what our brother-in-law just wrote us. We believe it. So we say to our kids, Why don't y'all come out the house? With JT's going to be here at 8 o'clock. So how you know? That's what he said. How you feel about it? Don't matter. Have you seen him coming? No. Can you smell it? No, no, no. Taste it? No. You can't do it? No. How you know he's coming? I believe it. Now, that's a natural thing. But what if, and we're going to get to it in a minute, what if God gave you a word and the devil said, you can't have it? He said, yeah, I can. How you know he can have it? He said it could. If he said it could, it can. Well, I don't know if you can or not. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. If I believe it, I can. Because the prayer offered in faith is a knowing now. And so when we look at Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. See, faith is always an is. It's never a was. Now faith is. So when you pray in the is dimension, not the was. Now faith is. You know, and I wrote this, and I want to be sure I say this. Faith brings future hope into present tense substance. The word substance, we have a Greek brother right here on the front. I'm impressed with his Greek. But anyway, it comes from the word hypostasis. The word hypo simply means under. Stasis means stand. What is the substance? It comes under my hope. Listen, and I know I'm not hoping I have it. I know I got it. How you know you got it? I believe it. See, I got saved the same morning she did. Little Methodist, her sister got saved. She's in heaven now. And that night in that little Methodist church, little white building, you know, you can just see the little white building stuck out in the country. So we went to church that night and got saved that morning. And the preacher said, look back at me. He said, Doc, it's customary that when you get saved here, you stand up and tell it. Well, I never told anything in church because it hadn't been that much. And I stood up in that little Methodist church, scared half to death. And I said, this morning, I got saved. Sat down on them old rickety pews. Now listen to me. When my bottom hit that pew, I've never doubted I got saved. Now watch this. Say, what do you mean? Because the heart and the mouth got in agreement, and I knew. Now, she fought the battle, bless her precious heart, but she won. But I never doubted it. Oh, I believe. If you had come to me and said, I don't believe you're saved, I said, I don't care if you believe it or not. I mean, we're still saved, aren't we? The devil comes and says, you're not saved. You know, you got mad at you, and if you come on now. I know I'm been born again. I know I'm a child of God. Not because I deserve it, because I believed it. Do you see? Once the mouth and the heart get together, then it lays hold of what it desires. I see that. And when we're praying, it works the same way. Same principle operates when you pray. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Kenneth Hagin, most of you heard of him, and he's in heaven now. He, at 17 years old, read that scripture. I've heard his testimony. Of course, I've been out. Our kids went to school out there. And he's 17 years old, and this is what Kenneth Hagin said. They're planning my funeral in the next room. I hear the preacher planning my funeral with my mom and his parents. And he said, I read that scripture. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He said, I read it and I said, well, bless God. If that's true, I'm getting up. He was paralyzed. He said, I'm getting out of this bed. If that's true, I choose to believe it. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, I took my old paralyzed legs that were numb and I slid them out over the side of that bed and they did a little ka-chunk. Hit the floor, and he said, the devil's screaming in my ear, you're going to die. This will kill you. You can't do this. Bless God, if the word of God's true, I can stand up and I be healed. Kenneth Hagin, at 17 years old, stood up beside that bed based on one verse of scripture, healed by the power of God. And if it worked for Kenneth Hagin, it'll work for you and me. Hallelujah. Now, I mean, golly, I'd make a mummy shout just to think about that. The look what's available. Look what God's made available if he can connect with us to get us to believe. So that's what faith is. How's it come? Well, you know, I've had to deal with a lot of people over the years. Pastor has, and some of you guys have, that of a pastor. So how does faith get here? It don't get here by praying for more. Give me more faith, Lord. The closest you ever come is the man who prayed, Lord, have my unbelief. But faith don't come by praying. Now, let me give this. Well, I won't let you look at it yourself. You know it, but go to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Look at verse 17. Everybody found it? Say amen if you found it, or your neighbor got it. Verse 17. So faith, the word comes, is italics, which means it's not there in the original. So then faith, put it in there to make it kind of flow together. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the only way faith comes. Faith comes by the revelation of the Logos word made real in you, making you able to believe what you now have read. And you know, this book is true whether you believe it or not. I used to see bumper stickers that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, two-thirds of it's right. But one-third of it isn't. God said it, and that settles it. It don't matter what I believe it or not. It's still the truth. But, Now watch this. Paul said, faith comes by hearing. Actually, if you read it, you go, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And the word there is the word rhema, the quickened, revealed word. And when the Logos, you know, in the beginning was the Logos, in the beginning was God, and, you know, that whole passage in John, whoa. How powerful. But the Logos is the Logos. It's always been. But when that Logos comes from the page into your heart by the Spirit, what happens is it quickens. It quickens something in you that gives you the ability to believe. You believe based on the word that's just been quickened to your heart. Therefore, your faith is not rooted in something out in the dark. It's rooted in a revealed word that God has just given you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to talk about that then real quick. So, let me just throw this out. I believe that most often God has a process where he takes us I mean, you've ever been reading the Bible and you read it because you marked it. But now you're reading and go, my God, look at that. Honey, look here. What? And she goes, okay. I mean, that was not real to her. It's real to you. Come on now. And you go, honey, look here. Look here. And you read it to her because all of a sudden, there's something from this book that was the Logos that's now burning down in your heart that gives you the ability to believe what you just read. That's where faith comes from. Now, there is a gift of faith that's under the sovereignty of God. We're talking about general faith to live by. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So let me give you this process that I think, and I believe it in my heart. Let me tell you the process that most of us are taken through by the Spirit to arrive at that revealed word. First of all, you got to have some information. You can't believe what you don't know. You got to have some information. I mean, it's called hearing. He that hath an ear to hear. So everything starts with information. How can they hear without a preacher, the Bible says. So that's the first step. It's once you get the information, once you've heard it, With a hearing ear. How many of you know, you ever heard something but you didn't hear it? Well, I mean, June and I go through some of that these days. We're trying to learn sign language, but anyway. But it all begins with information. Now watch this. And then once there's there's information and I've heard it, then I think the next level is I began to meditate I began to give attention to what I've heard. That's what the word meditate means. Paul talked about it in 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things, he said. It's the word of giving attention. Give attention to what you've just heard. So you got information, then you're just thinking about it. Well, you know, that might be true, Lord. You show me that. Or just reveal. I mean, you just can't get it off your mind. So what you doing? I've told you this before. The Lord told me this when I was 10 years old. I'm sitting on the front yard of our old farmhouse, and right across the road was our milk cow. We just had lunch, and I'm sitting on the steps, and Daddy's sitting on the front porch, and the old cow's laying over on the ground going. And as a 10-year-old boy, it kind of shocked me. I thought, I bet she's picked up an old rag out in the pasture. She's chewing on an old rag she found. I said, Daddy, what's that cow doing? He said, oh, she's chewing her cud. He didn't bother to tell me what a cud was. So I didn't have a clue what a cud was. I had my own interpretation for years. But you know the amazing thing? That cow taught me a lot about my faith. You know what that cow, all morning long, she walked around in the pasture, eating all that green grass, put it over in one stomach. About lunchtime, she laid down out there in the shade. She brought it out of that stomach, chewed it up, and put it in the other, and that black cow ate green grass and gave white milk. That's a miracle. Now watch it. When you got the information, come on now, that was your first stomach. And what happened? You bring it up, and you chew on it. You chew on it. You give it attention. You meditate on it. And what do you move? You move it over into that other stomach. And guess what? It starts to be part of your life. You see that? God help us. We'll talk about a cow to try to figure out what we're talking about here. A simple cow that, you think about it. A black cow eats green grass, gives white milk. And she did it like this. She chewed it up. She meditated on it, put it over here, and it became part of her life. I got the information, I meditated on it, put it into my life, and it became part of me. Faith operates on that side of the stomach. So, meditation. Let me give another one. Information, meditation, inspiration. Remember that passage in that 24th chapter of Luke? Remember that those Emmaus Christians when Jesus walked up and they start conversing and before they left, I love this. It says that he opened the scriptures to them. Now watch this. And when he did, what happened to those two Christians? It says, they said, our hearts did burn within us. I mean, I can tell you this, and I know you could say amen to it. Brothers and sisters, when that scripture, one of those verses or that comes off the page into you, you can't explain it, but there is an inspiration burning inside of you. That's what, listen, let's don't make this just going to church for heaven's sake. I mean, I'm all for going to church, and I think you ought to. But it's bigger than just going to church. This is a relationship with the Son of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still doing what he always did. He's just trying to get somebody to believe it. And you're it. It's happening right here. Hallelujah. So, you start out with information, you go to meditation, then you get an inspiration. It's just, it's just a whole process. Once you get to this place, you start asking yourself, what's the application here? How does this fit me? Well, when you make out, it's like putting on a coat. I mean, you shopped for it, now put it on. And then the last one, beyond application, is transformation. Your life has changed. What did he say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, metamorpho, by the renewing of your mind. Renewing it with what? What God said. It's too many people know what Reader's Digest said, but they don't know what God said. And the problem in America today, we've lost our reference point. What is the truth? If we find out what God says about it, it's settled. I don't care what Biden says about it. I don't care what Trump says about it. I want to know what God said about it. Once I find out, I'm going to stake my claim right there. Hallelujah. Because that gives me the ability to pray the prayer of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And then, you know, the word of faith says, verse 8 and 9, for the word of faith is nigh thee even in thy heart. When somebody punches you in your spirit, you're rabahashane. Tell them what the word says. When they punch you, the word ought to come out. Come on now. Because if that's the way it is, and it is, then our lives are being transformed by what we've been reading and what's been real to us. Now, I'm trying to quit. So how are you going to apply all of this? How are you going to do this? Because I like, if you're going to preach, tell me what to do with it. And I think I think the Lord showed me this. You can pray the prayer of faith in two dimensions. I'm going to show it to you. It's in the Bible. You can pray in faith with submission to Him and His Word when you don't know what the outcome will be. The outcome is still hidden. I'll give you three scriptures and a story. You don't have to turn there, but you can. In Mark 1:40, this is what the leper said to Jesus. If you're willing, you can make me clean. He had enough faith to ask, but had enough faith to know. Of course, Jesus said, I'm willing. And 2 Corinthians 12, you know that passage in 2 Corinthians 12 about Paul? I mean, golly, he said, I asked the Lord three times to deliver me from this. Three times he said I asked. You know all that Paul knew out of that prayer meeting? My grace is sufficient. This is going to help us. See, you can be walking in faith. When you don't know the outcome, it's still hidden. But you're walking in faith. June came home that day and said the doctors said that we got a problem. Fastest growing cancer you could have. She says, the doctor says, I have it. Well, that's not good news. And I know it's God's will to heal. I don't have a problem with it. How many of you know? But you can't have faith where you don't have faith. You can't wish you had it to have it. So you got to find out where your faith is and start there and develop. And so we start praying. What do we do? How do we go from here? What's the deal, Lord? And apart from each other, we're both praying, neither of us knowing what other than we're praying. We came and just sat down, and I said, honey, what's the Lord saying to you? She said, He's telling me, I'll see you through this. I said, He told me the same thing. Okay, now we've got faith. I'll see you through this. What does that entail? I don't know. But I know one thing, He'll see us through it. See, that's where my faith is. Now, I would like to have said, I've got faith to believe for your total healing. But the faith we had was, He'll see you through this. Can I tell you, there was not one moment, and she went through it as a soldier. Can I tell you, not one moment that I at least recognized that we were not somewhat and sometimes overwhelmingly aware. I'll see you through this. She's sitting on the front row. She's cancer free. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We were not walking in doubt and unbelief. This is where our faith was. And we count where our faith was. A dear brother, Mike Lee, who's in heaven now. Mike Lee, a number of years ago, got cancer at the back of his throat. And so we're crying out, you know, for God's healing, which is right. God wants to heal. It's the will of God that he heal. We know that. But we're not getting anywhere at church. I mean, we're crying out to God, but I know we're not getting anywhere. So I called a meeting with Mike, and I said, now I need to ask you something. What do you believe in? He's an elder in our house. I said, what do you believe in, Mike? He said, this is what I believe. I believe I'll have to have surgery, and I'll be cancer-free. I said, I can hook up to that. Now, if I get a word beyond that, that's another matter. I'm talking about just, and so I said, okay, then we start praying what Mike is agreeing, and we agreed with him. 2 years later, the phone rang one day, and it was Mike. He said, well, Doc, I've been to the doctor. I said, really? What did he say? He said, cancer-free. Am I making sense? God meets you where you believe in. Don't try to believe where you're not. See, count where your faith is and develop it further and further and further and further. You can walk in faith right where you are. I mean, you know, I mean, if you go to, I don't have time. You go to Daniel 3, look at them Hebrew boys. Oh, Shadrach, what a fry, man. I mean, here they are before the king. This is what they said. Well, we don't know if he's going to deliver us or not, but there's one thing that we do know. We may burn. We're not going to bow. That's where the faith was. Are you listening? That's where the faith was. And guess what? They didn't burn, nor did they bow. I'm just trying to get us to pray the prayer of faith where we are and camp there and develop it further and further as God directs. Just don't. I've seen so many jump way off out here in what they wish they could believe, but they don't. I've said this before from this platform, I think. It's like the two brothers. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it makes a good point. That one of them was a tightrope walker, you know, across Niagara Falls, and he was going to walk across Niagara Falls with a tightrope with a wheelbar, and they got it all ready, and he's fixing to get in, and he said to his brother, do you believe I can do this? He said, I do. He said, get in the wheelbar. Hey, you know, that's what faith is. Do I believe it? Get in the wheelbar. Or do I wish I believed? It's just healthy. If you can hear what I'm saying, it's healthy to pray the prayer of faith where you are. Now, you know, in healing services, I mean, there's a dynamic of faith operating. I'm talking about general living. I live what I'm believing. We all do. Like it or not. I am living what I'm believing. So praying in faith is simply praying what you now have found out he said about. And I know I've told you this, but it pops in my brain. We were going to get June and I, every fall, we start eating apples from Crow Mountain, other side of us. I recommend it. We get a 10% commission for everybody that goes over. No, we don't. So, best apples in the world, I think. But anyway, we go over every year and get apples, and we enjoy apples also. In fact, we just ate the other one, the last one the other day. So we're getting ready to make a haul. I think we're going to get Pastor some and maybe Russell a bag, whatever. And I don't know, the kids or something. Anyway, we had a pretty good apple run. And I heard the Lord. The Lord said, why don't you buy those apples? I knew it was God. I said, okay. Now, hang me tonight. Listen, hey, you know, I got a word now. I got a word. Because downstairs, in a little bank bag, I'd been saving money, John. I had 4 $100 bills. Man, I was prancing down there and got me one of them $100 bills and we took off to Crow Mountain. And so when we piled our apples on the counter, they counted them all up. And June said, I guess, how much we owe you? She said, $100. I thought, even $100. Isn't that ironic? Even not $104, not $90, $100. So we deliver our apples, you know, and do that. 2 or 3 or 4 days later, I was back down in the office there, and I happened to pull out the drawer where the little bank bag was, and I said, I'd look at my $3 $100 bills. I used to have 4, now I got 3. At least I thought. But see, there was when I did what faith was alive in me to do, so I open up the bank bag and I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so I go up to June and I said, did you put that money down there? She said, I didn't know you had any. Let the cat out of the bag. I ruined the whole thing. You go, I don't believe God does that. Did it for me. Did it for me. If God can multiply food, why can't he multiply that? What I'm saying is the prayer of faith is so overwhelmingly simple, we complicate it. When we pray, what do I believe? Just be honest about what you believe. Because you can pray the prayer of faith, and this is how it works. I say it for the third time. It's based on what has been revealed to your heart, and it's alive in your heart. You can pray it. How many know once you prayed the prayer of faith, you don't need to pray it again? What do you do now? Thank you, Jesus, that I have what I prayed. So you change how you pray from an asking to a praising. Now, if you wish you had it, just keep on praying. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be get under something. Just keep on praying till you know you got it. When you know you got it, you can just go, whoa, this morning I ain't asking. I got it now. I'm praising God. Hallelujah. You know, when you know that you know, I mean, you know, it puts joy in your heart. You go, this, and I got in. This dear woman, true story, this dear woman had a gourd or thing knot on the side of her neck, and she got to praying for healing. And she knew she was healed. But she looked in the mirror. Don't look like it. But she knew it. And how many know what was in her heart and what was on her neck didn't agree. So she decided to agree what's in the heart. And they said they'd have testimony services in her church. She'd stand up and go, well, I thank God I've been healed with that big old thing hanging right here. Finally, one of the elders came to her and said, we don't want you to stand up and say that anymore. People are talking. And after he said that, guess what? The thing fell off. I'm telling, don't look in the mirror to see what faith. Faith don't need a witness except in the human heart. Once you believe it, thank God you got it. Hallelujah. See, you can get up in the morning and go, I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm saved. Hallelujah. How you know you are? I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. Now, what if the devil tries to talk you out of? You can laugh at him and go, ha, ha. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, I was lost and I wanted to get saved and I did. Hallelujah. See, that sounds like some Pentecostal charismatic thing. It's in the Bible. And I think the series we're getting here Wednesday night on prayer is powerful. And I want to learn how to pray more and more. I want to learn how to pray in faith. I'm determined tonight to develop my faith where I count so that faith can grow. Can you agree with that? Now, how many of you, real quick, how many are believing you have count somewhere, you're in faith over something that's hidden. You don't know what the end product will be, but you are in faith over where you are. Raise your hand. No. 90% of the people. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't you let the devil beat you up. I mean, walk out on that spot and rejoice in it and cultivate it. It'll grow. But you can have faith where you are. And watch what God will do when he meets you right there. Amen. Can you give the Lord a God bless you for faith in Him? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's all stand up, please, and I apologize. All the children's workers are back there going, that loud-mouthed preacher's at it again. So, but let's lift our hand this way. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for the ability in God to believe what I can't see, taste, feel. My five senses don't bear witness, but my heart says in faith, yes. And I decree and I declare over these precious hands, 90% of the people raise their hands. I decree all of us that we have camped where our faith is, and we're going to develop from that point. We will not allow the devil to rob us in the name of Jesus. We will live from there. Hallelujah. From glory unto a greater glory. And may the Lord bless each one of you in the mighty, wonderful, incredible name of Jesus the Lord. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah.